I heard what Brother Runa said, and I want to give you a key to setting you free and a key for staying free. Do you want to know the key?
Yes.
Hands up if you want to know the key. Okay, I'm going to give you a key. The purpose of us being together is for my wife and I to give you keys. We're only here for a short time, but if you will use the keys that we are giving you, your whole life is on a destiny road of success.
Yes.
Okay? I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation. Give me a chance. I'm looking for a scripture. They overcame him. 12, 11? Yeah. Chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. Or shall I say, let's read from verse 10 to give us a context. I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. 24/7 you are being accused. You are being accused when you sleep. You are being accused when you are awake. But the one who has done that has been thrown down.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And they have defeated him.
Yes.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
That's what he's done.
Yeah.
And by their testimony, that's what they do.
Yeah.
If you want a key to living in victory, it's through the blood of Jesus. It's what he's done. For the blood of Jesus speaks for you before God. God never sees you with sin. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for all of that. So the blood speaks, book of Hebrews says, the blood speaks of better things. The blood speaks to God. The price has been paid. The blood shed is shed for the whole world. Every sin committed in the world, the blood of Jesus has paid the price for that. You couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. He did that. That's done. There is no sin problem with God. Men have problems with sin. God doesn't. The price of the sin problem has been paid. But God says, my son's done this. If you want to overcome the devil, my son's done this. But you've got to do something. It's called the word of you, a testimony. When Jesus Christ has set you free, you ought to say so. Romans chapter 10. If you want salvation to come to your life, you have to believe in your heart. Believing in the heart is something nobody sees. They only know that you believe when you say so. It's the word of your testimony. You give your life to Christ and you're born again. You go to a new school or a new college. Nobody knows you. They don't know that you're a Christian. You just go in. And they start talking. And suddenly you say, you've got an opportunity to witness for Jesus. It's your first day in the college. Everyone else around you, you've heard them talking and you know they're not Christians. Now it's your time. And they look at you. You say, I just want you to know, my name is Kerry Jones and I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I want you all to know that right from the word go. You'll find many withdraw. They back off. They walk away. There's a religious fanatic amongst us. There's a fundamentalist here. There's a gook amongst us. And all you are thinking, who's my friends? And God says, I am. I am. All heaven witnesses your confession. He who confesses me before men, I will confess him before the angels. Every angel in God has been called to attention to serve you. Every angel of God is called to attention to serve you, to help you. When you're in need of trouble, if you're in a conflict, there's no way out, God himself can say, you, go and help him. You, go and help her. Angels come. You overcome by the word of your testimony. See, today we hear the story. There's been things in your life and you're clogged up and you're so and so, whatever it is. You don't need to live like that. You don't need to live like that. But you'll continue to live like that. Until you say, I'm no longer living like that. Hello? I'm giving you a key. It's using your mouth. Using your tongue. Now, I'm not going to say to you, well, I will. Push your tongue out like this. Right? Now put it back in and wiggle it around in your mouth. You get saliva there, don't you? Saliva is produced. It's kind of wet inside because you're using your tongue. There's moisture. You're using the glands within your mouth and it's getting moist. Use your tongue to speak and you'll find your spirit gets moist. People say to you, oh, God's a bad God. No, God's good. All the angels rush to you. It's being released by the word of your testimony. You will overcome by what you can do. You cannot add to the blood. The blood is sufficient in itself for you as salvation and every man born in the face of the earth. But you can add to the blood you a testimony. It's simply this, and his blood was shed for me. Some people say, we don't believe Jesus is alive. I do. How do you know he's alive? I was talking to him this morning. I'm talking to him now. How do you know he's alive? Because I am. My existence is Christ. Therefore I am. How do I know he's alive? Because I am. I wouldn't be here without him. It's the word of your testimony. So now we've been in this meeting or meetings for a couple of hours since we've been here and you've had keys. Is there anyone here who's got a testimony? Not something that has passed. But as you sat in the meeting, you said, that's a key for me. Now you see the hand. So like the evangelist says, I see the hand. Sister, can you shout it out? What's your testimony? Hallelujah. Being filled up from the inside. as a testimony. Turn to the book of Jude, please. The book of Jude, not Judith, Jude. Book of Jude. It is in the Bible, in Norwegian, it's called the Book of Judas. Judas. Oh, what a name. What a great name, Judas. I didn't know he had a book. I knew he had money, but not a book. Reading from Jude. From the book of Judas, from verse 17. But you, my dear friends, you must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last times, that's today, there will be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. Yeah. That is, they're not believers. Yeah. Romans chapter 8 tells you that. Yeah. Anyone who is not a believer does not have the Spirit. Yeah. Anyone who is a believer has the Spirit. Yeah. That's the main difference. It's not whether you smoke or whether you drink or go to movies, or whether you curse or you swear. That's not the issue. The issue is simply, one who is not a believer does not have the Spirit in them. The believer has the Spirit in them. That's the fundamental difference. The one who has the Spirit in them, that's the reason why you don't swear, and you don't go into alcoholic things, and you don't do this, and you don't do that, because the Spirit of God lives in you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Praise his holy name. Carry, even if they don't say anything, praise the Lord. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. You, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith. Tell me, how can you build each other up? Works of kindness. Words of kindness. Works of kindness. Anything else? Sorry? Praying in tongues is a gift that builds you up. How do you build each other up? Fellowship with each other. You fellowship with God. You walk in the light as he's in the light. You have fellowship with God. You have fellowship with one another. But the Bible specifically tells how you can build others up. Prophecy builds each other up. Prophecy builds up the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. The gift of prophecy is to build up the church. In other words, we can all prophesy. The Apostle Paul said, you can all prophesy. Why? Because God wants the church to be built up. So this is what Jude is saying, or Judas is saying. We hope it's another Judah. We must build each other up in your most holy faith. Prophesy one to another. And pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues to build yourself up. If you want keys to life, if you want to build up the body of Christ, prophesy one to another. If you want to be strong, speak in tongues. He who speaks in tongues speaketh unto God. His mind is not fruitful. Your mind is not going to understand. See, lots of people, when they begin to speak in tongues, the old devil comes on and says, you don't understand what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. You could be making that up. Don't say that. Just stop. You don't want to blaspheme God. You don't want to upset God. You don't want to disobey God. Don't do that. He says, Kerry, don't kato si me kwat. Stop saying, hakuya ma katara ma mohoye ka ma kwat yelele su tubara. He said, well, stop. And I go, bobo kishan kata ma si kete so lo kata. He said, well, I told you to stop being la ma ti si me kwat ta so lo. You don't stop. You say, well, my mind doesn't understand. That's Bible. Your mind is not going to understand. But your spirit, you're building yourself up in the spirit. If you want to move in the gifts of the spirit, then use the one you've got permanently. Every day, every time, every moment, make opportunity, give opportunity just to pray in the spirit, speaking in tongues. Now, how many of you speak in tongues? Not that you've spoken in tongues, but you speak in tongues.
Hallelujah.
Right, now encouraging you this, constantly do that.
Yeah.
When you're at a table, just, now don't sit in front of people and go, yeah, kind of. No, they go, what's wrong with you? I'm just praying in tongues, brother. No. You pray, speak in tongues unto God.
Yeah.
When you're praying for someone and you don't know the problem, pray in tongues.
Yeah.
He that prayeth in an unknown tongue, this is what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries. Now, the word there, mysterion, means this. It's not you're speaking in tongues and you're making something more mysterious. It's not that. It is, when you're speaking in tongues, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries. That is to say, what is hidden, what is mysterious, what is being concealed through the speaking in tongues is made known to you. It becomes clear. You have an understanding of that which is hidden. That's what it means. He who speaks in tongues speaketh mysteries, the revealing of mysteries. If you want to understand that which is hidden, speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit will show you what's hidden. When you come to pray for people, who they say, I don't know what the problem is. Let's just pray together. Now don't just say, Heavenly Father, you know the problem. I don't know the problem. He says, well, why pray that? I do know the problem. You don't need to tell me you don't know the problem. I know you don't know the problem. But pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Because that means to say, God, I want to thank you. You're going to show me what the issue is here. Very important. Remember a situation a long time ago, and a lady came into a church meeting with us, and she wanted to go to the Bible study class, which is about being committed, becoming a member of this particular church. And she'd gone through a series of meetings, and it was one night then people were going to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. So the gentleman leading the meeting came up to my office, and he said, there's this particular lady, she's just not coming through into the things of the Spirit. He said, could I bring her up to see you? I said, yeah, bring her up. So the lady comes into the room and she sits down, and I said, well, are you enjoying the Bible study? Oh, yes, she said, I really am. So I said, could you tell me, when did you come to know Jesus? So the elder looked at me and said this, hey, no, it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit. I said, it's okay. I said, when did you come to know Jesus? Well, she said, I don't think I have. Oh, I said, well, if you haven't, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus only baptizes people that are in the body of Christ. I said, you'd like to come to know Jesus? She said, yes, I would. I said, open the scriptures to her, showed her the scriptures. Said, now, I'd just like to pray with you. I'll pray for you, and as I say these words, then you just follow that and said, and accept Jesus. Did you do that? She said, I can't. I said, you can't? She said, I can't do that. I said, would you like to know Jesus? She said, yes, I would. Well, I said, I'll pray this prayer. You just pray this prayer after me and ask Jesus into your life. She said, I can't. Well, I said, could we just together pray? I'll just pray. Do you mind if I just pray? She said, no. So I just prayed and started praying in tongues. So I finished my prayer with the Lord. So I looked at the lady and I said this to her, shock. I said, who in your house in your family is the spiritist. She said, how did you know my mother's a spiritist? Oh, I said, the Holy Spirit just said. So I said, could I pray for you? Yes, she said. So I released her from that spirit hold. Said, would you like to accept Jesus? She said, yes. So I prayed this prayer. Will you say this prayer? Yes. So she came to the Lord, was baptized in water, and baptized the Holy Ghost. You see, it's not with natural knowing. You have to know the Holy Spirit revealing to you things that are locking people up. You understand that? Locking people up. And God says, I want you to understand that. But I'm giving you a key just for yourself. First, pray often and long in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. Don't listen to anyone who tells you it's the least of all gifts. Tongues is the key to open up spiritual gifts. Amen. And secondly, always give testimony when God's done something for you. It may be small, but get up and say, I want to thank God. I was in the meeting this morning like this. I had a headache, and God healed me. People say, just a headache. No, if you've had a headache, you know what a headache is. See? Do you know that a headache is no more difficult to heal than a cancer? God hasn't got a big C. And so you think, phew, that's a hard one. Please understand that. God hasn't got levels of diseases that this is very hard and this is very difficult and this is a minor one. No, 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 no. I think it was in the 1980s that 20 million people in the world died of flu. Did you know that? 20 million people died of influenza. It was a killer. It's not little diseases and big diseases. It's simply, God simply says, I'm the healer. So you're in meetings and suddenly you hear different things. And you say, that's the key to my life. Now some of you sat in the meeting today. You sat in the meeting yesterday. And God's given you keys for your life. If you want to turn the key and really want to be effective, you've got to say so. I believed and therefore I say so. Who's got a testimony? Sir? Wonderful.
And because I'm going to preach tomorrow morning back home, so I will be good.
And you will be. Hallelujah. Any other testimonies? Yes, sir? Glad to come out here because people can hear you to the left. You're very kind. Thank you very much. It's great to see you. This brother needs to be applauded.
Well, it's a message that has been going on in my heart. And I received it, and I thought I shouldn't be selfish about it. Probably someone here also needs it. And it's something that happened to Mary. When the angel of the Lord Mary. You can find this account in Luke chapter 1. If you read from verse 30 until 38, you will see the event that happened that took place then. But I'm just going to point that touched me.
Yeah.
Because over the night we talked about the promises of God, that God has given us in His Word. And in the same way that the angel went to Mary, when he released the promise of God to Mary, what Mary did was just to respond, "This is unto me, according to your word."
Amen.
So I found a big courage or encouragement in that response. And I thought, I need to tune into this way of responding.
Yeah.
Because it was fruitful for Mary.
Yes.
And God is not a respecter of persons. If it worked for Mary, it will work for anyone.
That's right.
It will work for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If it worked for Mary, it can work for me. Work for Mary, can work for us. Yes.
And that God is listening. And He can overcome everything in my life that is not overcome yet.
Yes.
To me, that was really a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to see when you're reading the Bible that God is Almighty in you.
Yes.
And filling you and constantly filling you with this power.
Yes.
And I will overcome everything.
Yes.
Either from God or from what is not good.
Yeah.
But that was my revelation.
Hallelujah. Excellent. We are co-workers with God. Co-workers are the one with us who lives in us. Here's my guitarist friend. Moved.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Holy Spirit in you. You don't need outside people telling you you need to get adjusted inside. He tells you inside.
Yes.
He just simply says, "Will you give me that area?" Yes. Takes it. It's like it's filling up. Look at your body as a house. And he said, "I'll take that area of your mind. I'll take that area of your thinking. I'll take that area of your emotion." And he begins to fill up the rooms. He fills up your room, and therefore there is a fullness of Christ taking place. And the little Christ, I'll say this in reverence, the little embryonic Christ that came into your life by seed begins to grow. You see, the seed, the flower seed that you plant in the ground and the flower that grows, it's just the same content. There's no more in the full-grown flower than there was in the seed. And at every stage of growth, there is fullness. There's perfection. And in your life and mind, we have been impregnated. Understand this. First epistle of John. John's Gospel chapter 1. We have been impregnated with the seed of God. And suddenly that seed germinates. Now before a seed germinates, something has to die. Unless a corn of wheat or a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains as it is. But the seed coming in of God dies. You die with Christ. And suddenly, resurrection! Life! And suddenly you find your whole area of life adjusted. The things that you used to love, you don't love anymore. The things that you didn't want to do, you now do. The things that you love doing, you no longer do. out of your mouth, the things that you speak about is changed. And you say, I've changed. What's happened to me? Well, what's happened to you is God has infused, has come into your life by his Spirit to begin to display his own nature. And he has given to you and to me exceeding, precious, great, magnificent promises that we can be partakers of God's nature. So you begin to look at someone, you say, I like what I see. What do you see? The nature of God. There is no time that a Christian cannot love the nature of God. But the devil hates it. How do you overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
Yes. Hallelujah.
In other words, you cannot be silent.
No.
Always be confessing who you are. Now, if you want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, anybody wants to move in the gift? Well, the first thing that you have to have is the gift of the Spirit. And the gift of the Spirit is simply this. Jesus has given to each of us his Spirit. He is the promise of the Father. He's come to live in your life. Now he has gifts attached to himself. I'm not talking now about the fruit of the Spirit. As some people would say this. If I was a dove. All right, I'll try to illustrate it this way. A dove or a bird has two wings. Two wings. If you've ever seen a bird with one wing and they try to fly, this is what happens. They go in circles. They don't move. Can't fly. They got one wing. There are some Christians who say, brother, we believe in the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, that's good. But you got to believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You want to fly. You don't take an amputated bird. If you want to fly, you got to have two wings. Do you have the gifts of the Spirit? People will say that's the character. You've got to have the gifts, which are the charisma, the fruit, and the gifts. Please understand, it's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against there is no law, right? It's not, I have the fruit of the Spirit, it's love. No, 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 love is not a fruit of the Spirit. Love is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Has anybody here got an orange? They normally eat oranges in Norway. Anyone got an orange? Right, let's just pretend there's an orange. No. Let's just assume this is an orange. You take off the peel, and inside you come to segments. The segments of an orange. Open it up into segments, and sometimes you give one to there, one to here, and one to that. But when I give you a segment, I'm not giving you the fruit. I'm not giving you the orange. I'm giving you a segment. When the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he's talking about all the segments. You only display the fruit of the Spirit if you're displaying all the segments. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Hello. See, that's where lots of people go all goofy. Oh, he's a very lovely, he shows love, he shows love. It's the fruit of the Spirit, brother. No, it's a segment. The fruit of the Spirit are the whole nine. Now you go to the charismata, the gifts. There's nine. Now, if you want to move in any of the segments of them, You desire earnestly the best gifts, the Apostle Paul says, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, final verse, according to our Bibles, final verse. But don't stop at the final verse of chapter 12. Keep reading, because there are no chapters in the original manuscripts. There are no verses in the original manuscripts. You need to keep reading. But I'll show you a more excellent way than simply desiring best gifts. Love your way into them. Love means that when you see people in different need, the Holy Spirit sees that same need. And he says, I know what gifts needed here. You see, if you see a person who's desperately ill or sick bodily, the natural inclination is, want to pray for them to get healed. Help, I need to give them. And suddenly the Lord says, talk to them about this. You say, well, that's totally disconnected. You say, talk to them about that. Illustration. I was taken to a house by some elders. A lady who had been ill for about 6 months. They said, glad to see you back in town. Will you come with us? I said, sure. I go along with them, sit down. They're talking to the lady, and they have the bottle of oil and the usual things to do, you know, as elders, pray for the sick. And they're about to pray for her. I said, could I say something? Well, yes, of course. So I said to the lady, how long have you been ill? She said, 6 months. And she said, I just can't move and very well and short of breath and all this type of thing. I said, all right. So I said, do you tithe? So the elder said, excuse me, brother. We haven't come about tithing. We've come about her sickness. I said, oh. I'm just asking her about the tithe. Her husband's standing there. He drops his head. She looks at her husband. And he looks up to me and says, we stopped tithing. We shouldn't have done, but we stopped. I said, well, it's only there to show that you walk in the fear of the Lord. So I said, all you got to do is decide to start again. He asked God to forgive him for not tithing. The elders are still standing with the oil. The lady, she asked God to forgive her for not tithing. She said, well, praise the Lord. God is good. You're well. The elder said, well, we're going to pray. So you don't need to pray for her. She's well. That was a Saturday night. Sunday morning, she's back in the church worshiping God. Praising God. See, sometimes people are sick, but it's not a physical root problem. There is often a cause, another cause for a physical problem. Jesus met it. There were certain people who were demon-possessed, but had illnesses. Physical illnesses because of demon possession. He cast the devil out and suddenly they were physically healed. That's why the Bible says discernment of spirit. This is one of the gifts. The discerning of spirits means this. We have to know when people are functioning in certain ways, is that their human nature? Is that their kind of a people who are they don't believe they're accepted. They've got inferiority complexes, and their suddenly prayer is simply manifestation of their insecurities. You've got to know that's simply human. Then there's other manifestations of people go, and you think that's demonic. And there's other situations where you think that's God. But we have to distinguish the difference. That's what's called discernment. Distinguishing between spirits. But God wants us to move in the gifts of the Spirit because it's protective as well as health-giving. You understand that? So some of you today will be changed. Tonight we will be ministering to people. And other people will be joining me to minister. And you also can join in the ministry because the prophetic word releases people into dimensions of life that they've never had. You understand that? And we can all prophesy. So that tonight when we are ministering, it's not going to be carries up there or ailing. No. We can all prophesy so that we are mingling together. You may be at a table sitting for lunch or dinner. You're talking to somebody and the Lord shows you something. And suddenly you see something and you thought, should I or shouldn't I? Should I tell them? Should I not tell them? Lord say, why has the Lord shown you? If you're not going to do anything, why do you know about it? You know, that's like a God who is simply saying this, I don't know what to do, but here's a gift. Have a look at that one. Well, Lord, I've seen something about this. That's right. He said, well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I don't know. I'm a bit nervous to tell them. I don't know what the reaction will be. He says, well, go and share it. How many of you have ever been, now I know this is a Christian center. You've got to be careful what illustration to use here. How many of you have ever been to a fairground? Or how many of you have ever seen a carousel? You know, with the horses that go up and down. And has anyone ever seen that? Has anyone ever been on a carousel? Yeah? Yes, you have. You know, it's nice. It's nice. Don't worry, buddy. You're not too old. If you haven't been in, I'll pay for you to go on one. Right? I can remember when I was a little boy one time, I seen this carousel, and I saw this white horse. And I thought, that's the horse I want. And the thing was, it was a girl on the horse. Oh. Yeah, you know. And I thought, well, when it ends, she's going to get off the horse, you know, because she's had one round. But she wanted to stay on the horse. I thought, how can I get her off the horse? I just couldn't think of it. So I just waited there and went around again, and suddenly she got off the horse. I thought, right, when it comes round, I'm on. So I'm waiting for the carousel to come around. I see the horse coming, and suddenly I hear a voice. It was my sister. My sister. And she had a big candy floss. You know what candy floss is? What do they call it in Norwegian? That's it. It's sugar, you know what I mean? And I just looked at it, and I thought, wow. And she said, do you want some? I said, yes, please. I turned around and somebody else was on the white horse. I missed the ride in a meeting. It's a carousel. And the Holy Spirit says, that's what you got to do. So you wait. Now this is what can happen. There's something bubbling up inside you. It's never happened to you before, but you think, I'm just going to burst. I've got to speak in tongues. I feel I've got to burst, but I've never done this before, and I really want to do it, but... and then somebody else speaks in tongues. And you feel, should have been me. I missed it. And somebody else interprets, and you think, chance gone. Oh, if I'd only exercise my faith, if I'd only been more bold. God says, the horse is coming around again. Yeah, here it comes. And then a little thought. But what if nobody interprets the tongue? Then you look up, horse is gone. Somebody prophesies. When God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to exercise a gift, I want to assure you, the natural man gets nervous. It means you've got to exercise faith. The just will always live by faith. Is there anybody here who's can remember the first time you prophesied publicly? How did you feel? It's like your heart is inside. You knew your heart was in your body, but it was going all over the place. All over the place. And you began to perspire, and you think, oh. And then suddenly you prophesied, and you think, oh. You sit down, and nobody says anything. and just sit down and voices come. Now the elders want to see you after this. There's a silence because nobody accepts this. You've really stepped out of line. And not only the elders, when God speaks to you, he's really going to give you some time. And just as you're just about caving in, somebody taps on the shoulder, and you look up, and he says, well done. That was a real blessing.
It was?
Yes, it was a real blessing. Why did I doubt? God says, now you've done it the first time. Please now listen now to move. When you've done that the first time and you've known the way God's moving on you, he is not going to change the way he moves with you until you get used to the way he moves with you. So you were able to say this, I know that's God. He's always moved with me like that. I've been moving in this realm for 24 years. I know the way he moves. And when you got so used to it, then you say, Lord, I know just not the way you move. And then he says, Lord, that's a different way. He said, that's right. I want to teach you the manifold wisdom of God. And now what happens? You've now got to exercise faith again. When you're no longer 18 or 40, you're now 70 or 80. Thank God, I've never done that before. I've never slapped anybody before. If you just read the book of Smith Wigglesworth, you'll suddenly find that times he hit people and they got healed. Now, I'm not saying you go out to hit people, but I wonder what he felt when God told him to do that the first time. Understand? See? But God will move with you. And he just says, exercise faith. Just do it. Take on board the Nike advertisement. Just do it. If you want to walk, just do it. So that you've got a word, do it. The Lord says, lay hands on them. Just do it. Sit down with someone with a word of wisdom. They don't know what to do. They're saying, I don't know whether I should go to college. I don't know whether to go to university. I don't know, so on, so on, so on, so on. You say, do you know, I just feel the Lord saying this to me for you. Shall I? Shan't I? Should I? Can I? Could I? Maybe? No. Do it. Just do it. So that tonight, when we're in the meeting together, it's the time of just do it. It's not complicated. It's this. You look at certain people and say, Lord, I love that man so much. I love that lady so much. I just want a word for them. Now, it's not going around this building looking as if you've got the whole world on your shoulders. You know, kind of. What's wrong, Kerry? Oh, I'm really burdened. No. You go up and you eat your food and enjoy it. You smile at people. And you look at people. You see, God is good. He gives away life. You know, we talked about little children earlier. Little children do not go to grumpy people. You know what grumpy is? Miserable people. Little children do not run to miserable people. They look at happy people. You look at children and say, and don't talk to children from here. Get down. Hi there. Great to see you. Give me five. Great job. That's what Jesus was. Understand? Just be yourself. So that when you prophesy, don't change your voice. Yay! No, you're not Pavarotti. You're just you. I hear people changing voices and think, where are they from? They put on accents, American accents. They're from Texas. And they're Norwegian. Why are you like that? Well, the Spirit came on me. He's not like that. Clairvoyants are like that. He prophesies through you. Ordinary people just bringing the word of the Lord. Now, please understand this. The power is not in you. The power is in the word you bring. So Paul says to the Corinthians, he said, I'm so glad, to the Thessalonians, I'm so glad that you not only received us, but you received the word that we brought to you. The word with power. You received it as the word of God. God, when he speaks through your lips, it's the word itself that creates the power. But you've got to say it. How many of you ever prayed in a meeting and you thought, I didn't do too good in that. I wish I could pray like Sister So-and-so. Hands up. All right. We're all accused. Okay. All right. And you say, God, I'll never ever pray again. I just want to pray like Sister Blessed. I want to pray like Brother Happy. I just want to pray. I just want all my words to flow, and I just want everyone to know, and they're caught up with all the words that I'm saying. And Lord, I got so muddled up, I was so confused. And God says, I wasn't. I'm going to help you, Kerry. First, I'm going to take a scissors. Now, the prayer you prayed was 3 minutes. We'll cut it to 30 seconds. He said, 30 seconds? He said, that's all. All I wanted to know is, what do you want? You understand? God doesn't need the description. He says, what do you want? Lord, I want you to bless this lady. He said, I will. You are not going to pray like the person next to you. You're going to pray like you do. You are not going to preach like the next guy. You're just going to preach like you preach. We don't need extra ailings. We don't need extra peranas. We don't need extra dollars. We don't, or extra Mortons. We don't need them. We just need you. How many of you like being you? Keep your hands up now. You really like yourself. Turn to somebody and say, I like myself. Hallelujah. It wasn't long ago I said in a meeting that to some people there, like I just told you now, and this person said, looked at me because he was sitting by himself. He said, I like myself. And I said, you do? And immediately his head went down as if he was doubting. I said, it's good that you do. Oh, he said, you believe that? I said, you said that? I believe it. Always agree with someone's confession. See, I said to him, you do. It's different ways that you can say it. You do. Or you do. You understand? It's the intonation of ours. See, now it's the same with the Lord. But the thing with the Lord, he knows your heart. Some people are very confident, and the Lord knows the heart. He says, they're not confident at all. But he ministers to you, make you strong. So tonight we are going to be ministering to one another. But it's abundantly important that throughout this time and time we leave here, that you go through and you're able to give testimony. That you're able to make a confession. Like your brother came up, he says, what I was bound with is gone. His confession will always be, it's gone. Enemy will come back, said, you're bound again. No, it's gone. And this is what happens. The more you say that, he doesn't come anymore. See how the Bible says, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. But submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he does the running. Too many Christians are running. Say, God, I want to thank you. You're for me. You're on my side. You give me your spirit, greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. I want to thank you that I'm submitting myself to you simply through the blood of Jesus. And I want to thank you that I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. I want to thank you, Lord. Enemy comes along, says certain things to me. You have no effect on my life. Be gone. Thank you, Father, that you're walking into my life. He does the running. I'm not there to run. So the Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast and be immovable. Always abounding in the grace and the love of the Lord. Just stand. Let's try that. Let's see how we stand. Now let's stand as if we are standing ground. Standing ground. Pair of shoes there, no feet. I thought somebody had been raptured. I thought somebody had gone. Standing. Standing fast in the liberty.
Yes.
You ladies here, standing fast. You're to turn around with the three gentlemen behind and you say to them, we are in liberty. And the brothers... should have been, ladies turn around and say, brothers, we're in liberty. And you say, aye, amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I like that movement. I like that movement. I like that movement. Okay. Did we lose a brother? No. Oh, of course, your leg was broken. You can't stand? There you go. That doesn't matter whether 1 foot or 2 feet. You know, you're standing. So these three ladies are going to turn around to you three men. And they're going to tell you and say to you, brothers, want you to know we're in total liberty. You're going to respond to them, whichever way you like. Well, no, not in whichever way you like. Verbally, you're going to respond to them. So, ladies, can you turn to these three men and say to them now, want you to know we are ladies in total liberty.
Yes, amen.
Just trying to get people familiar and accustomed to just speaking out in a meeting. We've got to lose self-consciousness. You know, you mustn't be afraid to pray out loud. You mustn't be afraid to pray in tongues out loud. You mustn't be afraid to sing out loud. It's just being conscious of this. God is in me. I turn to someone and say, I want you to know I'm a Christian and I'm in perfect liberty.
Yeah.
Can you turn to someone and say, I'm in perfect liberty? I know at the back, I know you have I don't know if you're dating or you're courting or it's your wife or whatever. The lady next to you, you two, yeah. Is that your girlfriend, your wife, your friend, your...
Wife.
Your wife? Could I could see that you were very affectionate to one, you know, and I just thought, that's a stranger thing, but I can understand that. You couldn't see that. The Lord didn't want you to see it. Because the brother over here standing next to his wife. How long have you been married? Only 3 months. Hallelujah, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful. Many congratulations.
Yes.
So wonderful. Just to tell you, it doesn't get any the less. Doesn't get any less.
Better
and better.
Better
and better.
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 And
better. I agree with the prophet in the front row.
Yes.
So, Father, we want to thank you.
Yes.
That you've made us special people.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That you put within our hearts your spirit.
Yes.
And it pleased you to do so.
Yes.
And we want to thank you that at all times the Spirit wants to please you.
Yes.
We just ask you right now in Jesus' mighty name,
yes,
that all insecurities,
yes,
all emotional instabilities,
yes,
will end in our lives. That we shall be stable.
Yes. Amen.
We will be rooted.
Yes.
We will be strong.
Yes.
We will be healthy.
Yes.
We will be fruitful.
Yes.
In every way.
Yes.
Bless us now as we partake of food and rest. Let us encourage each other for the next few hours. And when we come together tonight, we expect ministry from your own hand into our lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' wonderful name.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now turn to somebody and say, have a good meal.